Good evening. And happy Father's Day to all fathers once again. But the real Father's Day greetings will go to our Heavenly Father, because He has been so good to us. This evening we want to, for a short period of time, discuss the topic of prayer. And I want to look at some of what I call the dynamics of prayer. Prayer is communication between God and man, or man to God, as we all will know. It is like children talking to their father who loves them deeply and cannot wait to hear them speak or hear them talk to him. That's prayer. I want us to start from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. The Lord said, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." Father, we pray, God, and commit this portion into your hands. Speak and touch our lives. And speak to us so that we will understand the deep things about prayer. Bless your people tonight in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So it is like children who know that their father loves them and always want to hear them speak. And when I think about these dynamics or these few points that I will be mentioning, it gives me the courage to always be able to come freely, confidently, and boldly to God. Because Jesus has already cleared the way, removed every and any hurdle or obstacle, so I can come freely. I can come confidently. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1, it says, "Let God's people come near and come together." And one of the reasons we come together and we come near is to pray to God. Prayer is so powerful, because God has done so many things because of prayer or through prayer, because his people prayed. They spoke to him. When God says, "Put me in remembrance," I think it means that he wants to see how much we believe what he has promised. So whatever we have promised, whatever God has promised to us that we believe, we bring it back to him. Prayer is talking back to God and telling him what he has said. When we want to pray really according to God's will, we just tell him, "I believe your word. I believe your promise. I believe your power to heal. I believe your power to do me good. I believe that you are going to save so-and-so person because you have saved me and given me eternal life. So I believe it, and I'm coming to you." The first thing I see about prayer is the promises. There is a promise. God has given us a promise. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask, and you shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. And when you knock, I'll open unto you." That's a promise. That's a promise that we can claim. That's a promise that when we come before God in prayer, we can remind him. This is God who never forgets anything. He just wants to see how much we trust him. So we bring back to him the promises that he has given to us. He said in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13, "If a son shall ask his father bread, will he give him a stone? If he shall ask him for fish, will he give him a snake? No, he wouldn't. Then he said, if you human beings who are evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more your good Father in heaven?" This is so encouraging enough for me to fall down and go on my knees and pray and ask God for anything. That's a promise. There's a promise attached to prayer. There's a promise that we can stand upon to pray. We can say, "God Almighty, you said we should ask, and that's why we are asking. You said we should seek, and when we seek, we shall find. That's why we are on our knees praying. You said we should knock." I think that it's just like a sequence of events. We ask slowly. We say, "Daddy, I need money. I want to go to school." And maybe Daddy didn't hear. So then we become a little bit more aggressive. and we seek. We say, Dad, time is running out. We are seeking help from you. And maybe Dad didn't hear. Maybe he's reading the newspaper or thinking about the budget for the family. And then I say, Dad, it's time. And our good Lord will always hear us. So there's a promise attached to prayer. The eyes of the Lord in Psalm 34 verse 15. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. God is seeing all the things that we go through. His eyes are upon us. Whether we are awake or asleep, the eyes of the Lord are consistently and constantly upon us. He wants to make sure that we don't get hurt. He wants to make sure that it is well with us. I know that in a home, a good mother and a good father will make sure that their children are comfortably in bed before they go to bed. Our Father watches over us. He said, when you cry, I'll hear. When you plead, I'll come to your rescue. So his eyes are upon us. And so I go into a prayer closet knowing that the eyes of the Lord are upon me and his ears are open unto my cry. God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So by faith we can come to him and ask him anything. So there's a promise. His eyes are upon us. The second point I have is the place of prayer. It doesn't have to be any particular place, but I call it the throne of grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace where you will obtain mercy and you will find grace that will help you in times of need, because our times of need are many. But when we come to the throne of grace. It can be the bedroom. It can be the kitchen. It can be the dining hall. It can be any place. Any place can be a prayer closet. Once God is there and I'm there and I believe in him, it's a place where I can meet him. It has become a throne of grace. It is a good thing that God is not sitting on the throne of judgment. He's sitting on the throne of grace. And when he's sitting on the throne of grace, he's waiting for us to come in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18. It says, I'm waiting to be gracious unto you. When I know that God is waiting to be gracious unto me, how do I come? I come boldly. I come confidently. I come with speed. I come by faith. I come without holding back. And I can say anything. In a local language in Ghana, there's a saying that, Ukanu poto poto obeti. No matter how your language or your prayer is disarranged, God will arrange it properly and he will answer you. So we can always come to him. He's sitting on the throne of grace. And we will find mercy. Mercy, as we have been taught by our pastors, takes care of the cause, the consequences, and the effects of our sins. Mercy takes away that which we deserve, and grace gives us that which we do not deserve. And those two things, when we come, we find them at the throne. So prayer can be so encouraging. A place of prayer. It is the throne of grace. Our Father in heaven is sitting on the throne, ready and waiting for us to come. Then I want to also talk about the third point, the power of prayer. The power of prayer is the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 26, the Bible says, when we don't know what to say, when there are groanings in our heart that cannot be uttered, the Holy Spirit makes intercession. When we are weak and we cannot pray, sometimes people say, I pray more than you, I pray better than you. Well, I don't go that route, because sometimes a prayer can be the shout of the strong or the sighing of the weak. I know that the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask verbally or think mentally. I just think it. Maybe I'm too weak to pray. Maybe you are too weak to pray. Just fall on your knees and wait upon the Lord. He knows our needs. And the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit energizes our prayer, he prays according to the will of God. Maybe I don't know how to pray about the will of God, But the Holy Spirit is at hand. He's waiting to carry my infirmities, to strengthen me, to quicken me, to encourage me. So prayer is not a competition between the weak and the strong. No matter how low, high, loud, inaudible we pray, God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So the power of the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. I am convinced that prayer doesn't have a formula. I think in Luke chapter 11 verse 1, the apostle said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And somewhere recently this week, somebody said, one of our pastors said, this was the first time that the apostles were asking, or the only thing that the apostles told Jesus to teach them. And it's not teach us how to pray, but just teach us to pray. I mean, there can be liberty and freedom in prayer. I can be sitting down, I can be standing. In some jurisdictions, you have to pray hard to be spiritual. You have to be loud to be spiritual. But I have come to the conclusion that whether prayer is audible or inaudible, there's a God who will always hear and run to our aid. I get encouraged when I know these things, that my God is able. I cannot compare myself to some people who pray, who claim to be prayer warriors. I am not a prayer warrior, but my prayers are heard by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer. It's very important. The next thing I want to talk about is the person of prayer. It's Jesus Christ. That is the prayer point. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, I will do it. Jesus Christ, we pray to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way, the channel by which prayer can get to God. Some people pray to Mary. I don't know much about that, so I cannot talk about that. I only know that some people pray to or through Mary. I don't think that Mary, the mother of Jesus, promised anybody to pray in her name. But Jesus gave us a promise. He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask my Father in my name, I will do it." Isn't that encouraging? And every single time we pray, we must know that God has heard it. He hears every single prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one we pray to, and we pray through him. And finally, tonight, what a privilege we have to pray to God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God." Beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know one thing, that when he appears, we shall be like him. We are a privileged people. It belongs only to us. God's opportunity for redemption is given to every human being. But all of us who believe in him, now it is no more just an opportunity, but a privilege. Something that only we have. Only we can talk to God, because we are the redeemed, and we have the power, and we have the point, and we can come to the place, and we have the promises. What a privilege it is. Yes. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Esther chapter 8, verse 16, finally, it said the Jews have joy, they have glory, they have honor. We are special people. They have joy, they have gladness, they have honor. We are special people. These things belong only to us, because God is our Father, and he waits to hear us pray to him. God bless you all.
All right, our next speaker tonight comes to us from Bangalore, India. Welcome, Pastor Brian Coelho.
Good evening. It's good to be here at the convention this year, and my wife is here. She's here for 17 years. She's come to convention. Is she here? Marina? Yeah. She was not backslidden for 17 years, but she's just taking care of a couple of things. helped us go through a convention each year, making sacrifice, and thank you. It's an amazing place to be, an amazing time. Dr. Stevens said in a rap session, this is the place, now is the time, and we are his people, these quotes, and I just thought about it as I was just meditating. But Father, thank you for bringing us here specifically. Those that are here are here because of you. We just pray that your hand would be upon us, the campus, the men of God, the women of God, and the men that would be speaking, the portions that would be expressed. Thank you for taking care of traveling, finances, answering the desires of our hearts to bring us here. Every year by faith we come. We thank you. In this body, thank you for the men of faith here that believe for us, we pray. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of testimonies to pray I thought would be interesting. I came to Bible school here in 1989 to 92. And I thought to myself, make the best of it. Make the most of it. You do not know when you will come back again. This is 2017. 27 years later, I looked at it and I just missed 4 conferences. How is it possible that could have happened? On many letters, please send me money, I want to come to the conference. Possible, I don't know. E.M. Bounds made this statement. When I read his books on prayer, I had to just keep the book aside and I had to almost go to God. And in the Old Testament, they would pour water out as an expression of repentance. In India, sometimes there is drought and water is a scarcity, so you can't do that. Just trying to lighten you up today. And he said the statement, which really, I know they were, some of them were radical in their faith, and he said, if you have gone to God in prayer for a specific need, and you have gone to someone else to express that need, then be sure that God did not answer that prayer. And I said, all my letters are like that. But I just love the way he expressed it in faith. Now, I'm not saying that don't ask, just the way he said it. If you have gone to God in prayer, and there's a principle in the scriptures here which is very interesting. In the book of Isaiah, in the 7th chapter, God is asking a king, Ahaz, please ask me a sign so that you will have victory over your enemies. And Ahaz is saying, oh no, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's just too honorable for me to ask you a sign, and I'm just going to just believe on you. In the historical books, when you go to 1 Kings, Ahaz makes a deal with the king of Assyria against the enemies of Judah. And he is not sure whether God is going to stay true to his word. So he makes an arrangement on the site that in case God does not come through for me, then I have a backup plan. That is available. I don't know, but sometimes I may check the fuel tank in my car, but God may take out the spark plug. You know, and when I start the car, the ignition doesn't work, but my tank is, there's fuel in the tank, why is my car not working? God knows our hearts. God is not so much concerned about me being true to him in as much he's concerned about me knowing that he is faithful to me. And this backup plan did not work in Ahaz's case. God knows our needs. He knows that when we ask, we will ask much more than what we need. And he knows that even if he gives us what we need, we will use it contrary to his will. But he nevertheless still commands us to ask. He says, ask so that the Father would be glorified through the Son. Is that amazing? When Jesus Christ, as a principle in prayer, when Jesus Christ finished the work on the cross of Calvary, finished it once and for all, He died for our sins, He shed His perfect blood, He ascended, sat down on the right hand of the Father, He sent His Holy Spirit down in our hearts, and He gave us a perfect gift of righteousness. When He gave us that gift of righteousness and He gave us prayer as an amazing weapon in relationship to opposition, prayer is not a last minute resort in a crisis. It is a weapon that the believer has in relationship to his position that he has been given. When a believer goes to God in faith, in prayer, he does not ask, he is not asking or approaching God on the basis of who he is. He is asking God on the basis of the righteousness he has received by faith. Now Psalm 33 verse 5 says, when the righteousness of God looks down at us and hears us pray, and we have in a positional sense that righteousness in heaven must acknowledge the righteousness that is on earth, because it is the same righteousness that has been given to us as a gift. Therefore, when you and I take our position in God, not as a last minute resort in a crisis, even though most of the time I do that, but when I take my position based on that righteousness which is given, God looks down and He delights in the fact that righteousness in heaven is going to bless righteousness on the earth. And when the utterance takes place, that which is in heaven blesses that which is on the earth. This is the prayer that we pray as believers. And many times this is the prayer that gets us to be overcomers in warfare. That is why in Ephesians 6, in the 18th chapter, with all prayer, with all supplications, with all beseechings, we pray. In closing, in the book of Daniel, in the first 8 verses of chapter 1, it's very interesting. It says, Daniel is writing, he said, the Lord gave Jehoiakim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And you keep on reading, they took the vessels of the sanctuary, they took all these things. They took the intelligent people, the artsmen, the craftsmen. Then it says, they took these young lads, and scripture say, with them, they also took Daniel. Now that's an interesting statement in light of captivity. What did Daniel do in Babylon? Did he say, you know what guys, listen, 3 of us here, you know, just be relaxed, compromise. I mean, sin, but don't sin much. You know, it's like, you know, we are captives. We have an identity of being victims. So, you know what I mean? Just like relax. The time is right. We'll just basically, at some point of time, get deported back. No. It says, that Daniel, he recognized that the Lord had given them over into captivity. Now, even though captivity was a discipline that came upon Israel as a nation, in this case, Judah, Daniel did not resign himself to the fact that he is going to live there as a captive. According to A.R. Matthews, who was one of the missionaries in China, Inland Mission, he has this book on warfare, 31 chapters. He says this, he says, God wanted to establish his government in the spiritual sense in a hellhole place on earth called Babylon. And he used Daniel to do it. I mean, he shook that nation where the kings came to the conclusion that there is God in heaven. How did he derive the wisdom to be able to be promoted to that place of authority when he could have said, we are victims here? It is not the multitudes of people that will get on their knees in situations like these. God says in Isaiah 59:14, Isaiah 63:5, 64, that God is looking for a man, in the generic sense, a woman, not in the generic sense as Pastor Shalu was talking about, boy-girl thing. No, not that. But God is looking. He's looking for a lot of people. He's looking for one person that can stand in the... And when that person recognizes the fact that righteousness is waiting to bless righteousness, he's inspired. Because of the fact that prayer is given to us as a weapon from the viewpoint of our position. And any one of us, we may not be great intellectual speakers, but we can definitely be those people that God is looking for when it comes to talking to our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to, later in the service, have an evening of prayer and worship, praise with music and so on. But we've heard two great messages on prayer and thinking about this coming year, this coming week, and then this coming year, and what the Lord has done through prayer and the past year, and then thinking of healings this week, answers, broken hearts, physical problems maybe, people that we know, people persecuted, brothers and sisters in the world, and that we are a mighty people. We are people of prayer, like we heard. We can ask and receive. You don't have to raise your hands, but are there any families here and you have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter out in the world? Prodigal somebody? Prodigal cat or dog? Do you have in your church somewhere, you know, somebody that's kind of lost and hurting? Prayer. Wow. Prayer in the morning, prayer at night, prayer in the church. Here's a good question for pastors. How will my people learn to pray if they don't learn to pray in the church? How will they learn? Isn't that a good question? Like we could say, go home and pray, but maybe like with the disciples, they said to Jesus when they saw him praying, they waited for him to finish, and then they said, teach us to pray. You know, I think they saw something when he was praying. I think they learned to pray by watching him. And I think in our lives, our church should have at times prayer meetings where it's an hour of prayer, an hour of waiting on God, hour with some singing, maybe quietness, waiting. How will they learn if it's not happening in the church? Isn't that a good question? It really is a good question, because I can go home and I can pray a short prayer. I heard statistically average American Christian, I don't know, check it out, but 7 minutes a day, you know, 7 minutes a day of prayer. I don't know how do they know that? Are they with my car? Are they in my car when I'm driving? I think they might be, as a matter of fact. No, how do they know that? I don't know. How can you tell? Maybe they did a survey. But we pray without ceasing. We pray fervent prayers. We ask God. The issue isn't us, it's him. He is hearing because he's obeying the righteousness that he gave us. It's our, we are righteous. Two things God has to obey: his own righteousness and the righteousness that he's given away. He gave it to us. He honors us and he hears us. Okay, so how about if you just take a few minutes and with your neighbor if you like, or by yourself, and just say, we have one more speaker, But just say with your neighbor, what do you want me to pray for this week? What do you want this week for your life? How could I pray for you? And have a few moments of prayer and fill the house with prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Wow. Okay, go ahead. We have one more speaker, but take a few minutes. Okay, would you stand, please? And Pastor Mark is coming to lead us in a song. Okay. Father, we pray you would do great things this week. Jesus. Yes, Lord. We pray. Thank you, Lord. Lead us this week, every conversation, the healing powers of the Holy Spirit, every life, Lord, doctrine in the heart, Father, raising up people for the countries in France, Lord, revival, Jesus in England, revival, Lord, the sketch borders this summer, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Jesus, Poland, Russia. Thank you, Lord. Revival, divine appointments, Lord. Disciples, send laborers into the fields, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Send disciples here to Bible College, we pray. Move people from Wyoming, Montana, California, the Dakotas, Florida, Texas. Draw people to Bible College, Lord. New England, we pray. Pennsylvania, Jesus, New Jersey. Every town, every city, every village, raise up another Billy Graham. Raise up a messenger, a servant. And you have done it and are doing it. We ask for more. Mighty works of grace, great works of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Just let's say amen, 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 amen. Say to your neighbor, amen, I believe God. Yes, Lord.
Love song that we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name, be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto
holy, holy,
holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name, be unto your name.
Please be seated.
Thank you. I missed you too. Amen. The body of Christ is so precious. Just before I begin the message I have on my heart, I just remember one thing Pastor Brian just said. God is not so concerned how faithful I am to Him, as much as He is concerned that I know His faithfulness towards me. Did you hear that? Like that is amazing. That is a heart of prayer. That is a heart of prayer. That prayer is not about how faithful I am to pray. It's not. So tonight I just want to share something that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks. Matthew 26 and 27. You don't have to turn there. You probably know these stories very well. End of chapter 26, Peter is in the courtyard. Jesus has been arrested. He's going through his trials before the high priest. And a servant girl comes and asks him, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're saying." When he'd gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also is Jesus the Nazarene." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And then Peter reveals some of his speech. He says, "With a curse." You can imagine a fisherman's cursing. "I do not know the man." And then immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus. So in chapter 27, we have Judas. Very similar. Jesus had also predicted that Judas would betray him. Verse 3, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was," I don't like this word, New King James, "remorseful." King James, repented himself. It's like great regret. piercing regret. And he went and brought back 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. And I'm just, these two men, and I'm just thinking about it in reference to prayer tonight. What's the difference between these two men, Peter and Judas? One denied him multiple times, one betrayed him. And when you read through this, they're both like Judas repent, like I mean, he confesses, I have sinned. I have sinned. I am condemned. I have sinned. But what does he do? He doesn't go to God. He goes to men. He goes to men. Looking for forgiveness, looking for some freedom, like relieve me, going to men. And no matter, it's like, no matter who is the man, we cannot go to men. And they say, what is that to us? It's your problem. And as a pastor, people maybe come to me and they have a burden and they want me to help relieve it. And actually, I cannot. What can I do? I want to be a rooster. I want to be a rooster that reminds them, hey, remember what Jesus has said. Remember what Jesus has said. This is the difference between these two men. Judas did not remember. And I think very often when we bring up the subject of prayer, often there can be much regret. Oh, I don't pray enough. Oh, I should pray more. Oh, I need to pray. But there's no regret in this relationship with God. There is no regret. There is just remembering what God has said. And yes, Peter went and wept bitterly. He went out, wept bitterly. He is so broken. But he remembered what the word Jesus said. And this is where God wants to bring us. Maybe broken, full of regret, but remembering the word of God. And, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is that God. You and I have his ear. We have his ear, the creator of the universe. You have his ear. Our heavenly Father, you have his ear. Men, like even the best men, I want to be a rooster. I want to point you to God. Let's remember what God has said. And let's just close with this. Some of you may know, I've spent this last year in America. And many years I've been overseas and kind of insulated from the whole political scene in America. And it's just been grieving. But look at this. It's just like, here's what he said. This is just one, like he's 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, presidents, congressmen, senators, whoever, praying, interceding, supplications, praying. This is the weapon. This is our provision. The God of heaven has our ear. He has our ear. Let's not forget. Let's not go to men. There's no solution there. And then look, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For what? Verse 4, God desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. The reason we're praying is that souls would be saved. That all men, this is God's heart, all men would be saved. All men would know Christ. In Ezekiel 33:11, it says, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure. That's not his desire, but that all men would turn. All men would turn. the God of the universe has my has our ear. Or we have his ear. Now what? You have his ear. Now what? Do I forget to pray? No. I love this same pastor. I love it. There's so much on my heart. America needs this, huh? So, amen. Amen. This is going to, like, we're praying tonight. That is awesome. You have God's ear. We have God's ear. We are remembering what Jesus has spoken. Not like Judas going and looking and expecting to men. Okay, so, amen. Let's, if there's anyone here tonight and you have questions about your relationship with God. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You're not sure. When you pray, do you know, like God, you have God's ear. Do you know? Tonight you can know for sure. Receive Jesus Christ. Become a child of God. Your heavenly Father. You have his ear. His open to you. If you've never received Christ, I beg you tonight, be ready. You know judgment is real. You know God loves you. You know it. Open your heart. Don't stop looking to men. Stop stumbling over men and come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. He died for you. He was buried for you, and he's risen for you. Just pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. I receive you tonight as my Lord and Savior. I receive Jesus. Save me. Wash me clean. Make me your child. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, would you just lift up your hand? Is there anyone tonight? Just lift up your hand. Someone wants to give you something. We want to give you a pamphlet. Wants to counsel you. Lift your hand. Raise your hand. Be saved tonight. Thank you, God. Be saved tonight. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.